7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Hello, monkeys, and welcome to the Live Wild or Die podcast. I'm your host, Monkey Dan. And on this episode number 16, a few things I want to talk about. Have some environmental conditioning thoughts that I wanted to share. Want to dive, of course, into the monkey mindset. And then I also want to share some just, you could call them training updates or just some new training elements I've been playing around with a little bit. So we can dive right into it. And as always, if you have thoughts or any other comments you'd like to share, feel free to comment on Podbean. You can shoot us a note at info@monkii.co or send a, is it DM? Is that what the kids are saying these days? Feel free to DM us on Instagram or find some other way to get a hold of us monkey elders. So diving into it. So for environmental conditioning, I've been interested in this specifically for a little over 2 years now. Went out to see the wild man Earl out in Lofoten, Norway, which is above the Arctic Circle. I went out there in February to scout for a monkey venture we did out there. So little side note, we took a group. We had 15 folks. We went for a week to these islands in the Arctic of Norway. We went climbing. We went stand-up paddleboarding. Plan was to surf, but there was no waves, but it was awesome. It was wild. So maybe we can do another one of those one of these days. But so Earl kind of had introduced me to Wim Hof, who, aka the Iceman, he's been the one kind of leading this cold exposure movement, this breathing movement, and this kind of body hardening and just power of the mind. And so we, to do our Wim Hofing over there, we dove into the Arctic Ocean, or I guess it's the technically the Norwegian Sea, but it was February at night. We went for a little swim. It was a little bit cold. I went surfing out there, which was awesome. Highly recommended. But so Earl introduced me to Wim Hof and kind of re-sparked for me this environmental conditioning, which I'd been into previously, especially as a wilderness ranger and wildland firefighter. I think it's more part of the job than something you really have to consciously seek out. But now that I'm not in the wild as much as I used to be, I thought it's just important to be mindful of exposing myself to these uncomfortable environmental stimuli. So I've been doing cold showers for a while now. I don't do it every single day, but I do it at least a handful of times a week. And if I'm ever outside and the opportunity presents itself to dive into a cold lake or a cold stream, river, whatever, I always try and take advantage of that. But so the cold side, I think most folks have seen, and there's plenty of information out there about that. But what I've been experimenting with more recently is the heat exposure. And it's summer here in Colorado. I went for a 6 mile run this morning and it wasn't even 10 and it was hot. So I think today is the high is like 99 or something like that. But so one thing I've been experimenting with just to kind of get a little more heat exposure, especially working in an air conditioned warehouse or at home, we have the AC on. So what I've been doing is my car's out in the sun. Instead of getting in and turning on the AC, I've actually been getting in, turning on the heat. Let me take a step back. So I'll let it air out just for a second, get a little fresh air, but the car's still super hot from just that pounding high desert sun we have here. So car's still super hot, roll up the windows, turn on the heat. I've got about a 15-ish minute drive home. So in the car with the heat, it's got to be, I don't know, it's over 100 degrees for sure. I should take a thermometer, but gets my body temp up, gets a nice little sweat going, and kind of, I don't know, when I'm inside for in this air conditioning and then I go out into the heat, it's a weird contrast. I feel like I'm missing out on that stimulus. So been trying to kind of make up for it with this hot car ride instead of just being in a traveling air conditioning unit all the time. So that 50 minutes seems to be a good time length. I don't know if you'd want to push it too much longer than that, especially on a hot day, and make sure you're hydrated, make sure you feel good. Remember, you're operating a potentially multi-thousand pound vehicle. So start feeling a little off. I'd suggest cranking the AC back on, rolling the windows down, but something to play around with. And it's kind of one of those hacks where, you know, I know we're all busy, so it's a way to kind of sneak in this extra conditioning throughout the day without having to waste time, basically. So try it out. Next. So I've been reading Marcus Aurelius' Meditations recently before bed. And, you know, I did a episode a few weeks back talking about Stoicism. And I know a lot of people are super into it, and I've never dove into it deep in an official sense. So I haven't read deeply. You know, folks like Tim Ferriss are really into Seneca, and Marcus Aurelius always gets brought up as well. But I've had this, it's actually my wife's dad. So my father-in-law, he gave it to my wife, and I've been borrowing it from her to read at night. But Marcus Aurelius Meditations, it's these short little kind of aphorisms or statements or realizations that he had throughout his life. And most of them are pretty basic, but basic seems to be the most profound in a way. So I'm just going to read a few quotes real quick, and then we can reflect on those. So the first, this is Marcus Aurelius. The happiness of your life depends upon the quality of your thoughts. Therefore, guard accordingly, and take care that you entertain no notions unsuitable to virtue, unsuitable to virtue and reasonable nature. Again, that's Marcus Aurelius. And then one more from the wild man Marcus. You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this and you will find strength. So I think both of these really, they're falling on that same vein of no matter what your external events are, the experiences, your interactions, it's all about your mindset and how you perceive those things. And I think relating back to the environmental conditioning a little bit, you know, a lot of that is, for me at least, it's getting comfortable being uncomfortable. I've heard that plenty of times before in various different modes from different people, but it's real easy to be comfortable all the time, all year round, all day, no matter what the season is. And it's a privilege and a luxury, but I think there's also a little bit of a dark side to that, in a sense of your mind just gets soft and you almost get a little bit numb. And for me, it's always been when I go out and do a big adventure, a big day, big climb, big run, big ride, whatever it is, and you have to suffer, you're uncomfortable, it makes all those little luxuries just that much better. And I think I appreciate life better. I appreciate my wife more. I appreciate our daughter, our home, our dog, the food we're eating, everything, so much more when I've been uncomfortable. And so I think, you know, when you read Marcus Aurelius, a lot of the things he says are, if you can strengthen your mind and prepare your mind for these times of discomfort, they won't actually be uncomfortable or painful or anything like that. In fact, you can even relish in the fact that it can be seen as this stimulus to make you stronger. And relating one more time back to the environmental conditioning, you know, that cold exposure, that heat exposure, your body does adapt to the stimulus and stress you put upon it. So if you're never cold, you're never hot, if all of a sudden you want to go do something that involves heat or cold, whether it's hiking across the Grand Canyon or hiking a peak out here in Colorado, or maybe you want to trek in Nepal, whatever it is you're thinking of doing, having that mental fortitude and that previous exposure is going to be so valuable to enhancing that experience. So again, I think Marcus Aurelius, and I think that whole Stoic philosophy is just molding your mind in a way that you can be in control of your thoughts. And I know I struggle with this big time, especially I'm pretty good. When it's for physical things, I think I struggle when it's more emotional or relationship stress. I think that's where my biggest weakness is, as far as having that stoic mindset and just maintaining positive thoughts. So we've all got something to work on. That's what it is for me. Then the last thing I want to share with the monkey community is just some training things I've been playing around with. So it's, again, beautiful summer here in Colorado, and we've been super busy. We're actually working on something I'm psyched to share with the monkey community here probably in a month or so. But so it's been super busy, and I have a 10-month-old daughter, so that we're busy. It's life. But I've been trying to keep up with my training, and so I usually get home sometime between 4:30 and 5:30, and it's so nice out. And we rent a townhome, it's kind of dark. It's kind of almost sunken down a little bit, but there's a beautiful yard and kind of this courtyard. So what I'll do is take my little girl out there, plop her down in the shade, and I bring a kettlebell out for her. She can use it to kind of stand up. It's awesome. New baby product. So I've been taking her out, and we just kind of wrestle around. I'll do push-ups, sit-ups, just kind of sneak in little sets when she's playing with some grass or something. But I've been listening to Brad Kearns over at the Get Over Yourself podcast, as well as Primal Endurance, and just kind of reconnecting to that scene that I used to be pretty deep into and kind of got back into it the last maybe 6 to 9 months. But one thing they always talk about in that primal approach to health and fitness and wellness is sprinting. And that's something, I was a college athlete. I played lacrosse all through college and ice hockey. And, those were very sprint intensive sports. So I've just been going barefoot out in the grass, and I think it's maybe about 40 or 50 yards across. So I'll basically do an over and back. So I'll sprint across, turn around real quick, sprint back, and the dog's out there. He'll chase me. And it feels really good. I can feel my feet getting stronger. I feel my hamstrings, just that little bit of soreness the next day from not having done it for a while. But it feels really good. It doesn't waste me, in the sense of I don't feel like neurologically fried or anything like that. And it just feels good to move at that high, intense pace. And I've been doing I started with 4 or 6, and I think I did maybe 10 or so yesterday. And, I'm not even timing my rest. I do one, sprint back to little girl real quick. We play, maybe do a few push-ups, whatever, and then do another one. So my rest intervals are probably somewhere between a minute, maybe even up to 3 or 4 minutes, depending on what happens. But if you haven't, just one word of caution, I actually tweaked my quad trying to do some sprints like 3 or 4 months ago. So definitely ease into it. Start maybe at 60%, 70% max your first time. Just, pick up the pace a little bit, but you don't need to go just that 100% all out right away. So ease into it. Then the next week, work up to maybe 80%. The next week, up to 90%. So slowly, slowly get your body up to full speed, and definitely make sure you're fully warmed up. I've been doing mine later in the day after I've maybe worked out in the morning. So don't get hurt. Keep getting wilder. A few more things. So also just another fun thing I've kind of been doing with little girl is she likes being held and all that, which is awesome. I love it. So what I'll do is I have a kettlebell. I'll hold her in one arm, hold the kettlebell in the other arm, and I'll basically just do a single arm farmer carry, go across, drop it, switch, do the other side, and it's okay. It's a good workout. You got to keep your core tight, that bicep tension in the arm that's straight. And then also holding her, she's only 15 pounds, but if you do that for 20, 30 minutes, it adds up. So good little functional weighted baby workout, something for any dads or moms out there, if you're looking for a way to mix it up with your kids. And then one thing just to hammer home, this is all on top of my everyday just kind of first thing in the morning session. So it's typically 3 rounds of 15 rows on the pocket monkey. I'll do push-ups and squats, and then I'll either do some. I've been starting to add a core exercise as well. So it might be Russian twists. It might be a V-up. It might be holding planks. Some sort of core exercise. Some. So that's rows, push-ups, squats, and then a core. That's my base level. I usually do 3 rounds of 10 to 15 reps each. And then on top of that, I've been trying to do at least 30 pull-ups as well as 45 dips every day. And so I've been mixing that up, just all different sets and reps. So sometimes I'll do 3 sets of 10 pull-ups and 3 sets of 15 dips. Sometimes I'll do 6 sets of 5, just mixing it up all these different ways. And I think I can actually start to increase the volume just a little bit. And it's just, I feel good. I'm getting a ton of volume and I feel like I'm never frying myself. My joints feel good. And I feel like if I wanted to, I could do 100 pull-ups or whatever, 200 dips, and it's not going to, I'd probably be a little bit sore, but it's not going to just totally thrash me. So just that consistency, I think. I listened to a podcast, someone from Strong First, who started by Pavel Tatsulin. I think I said that right, but he's this Russian guy. He brought the kettlebells to the US, and it's this grease the groove concept where you do this relatively low volume, high frequency workout every day. So your muscles never get super fatigued, and you train yourself to be strong and move with this awesome form. So I've been really doing that basically since my little girl was born in September. So I feel great. I was nervous. I used to have some inner elbow pain from, I think, climbing a little too much, but haven't had any of that. Shoulders feel good. Elbows feel good. You got to keep the volume low enough and appropriate for what's right for you. So I've been doing, again, that 30 pull-up and that 45 rep dip. That's kind of the minimum, and every once in a while I'll go above that, but something to think about. And you can do it as well with any exercise you like to do. You could do it with tucks on Pocket Monkey. You could do it with holding planks. You could do even iso core exercises where you're doing different rotations. So something to play around with. Pick 3 to 5 exercises and just do that kind of minimum effective dose every day. So I think that's a good point to wrap up this episode of the Live Wild or Die podcast. I love hearing from the monkeys, feedback, questions, any topics you guys would like to talk about. So send us messages, keep the conversation going, and as always, keep getting wilder. Monkey on.